Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday, the 4th of October. I'm Louise.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineer this week is Martin. And now Margaret will start us off with the news.
A shopping centre frontage is to be replaced as part of it poses a danger to pedestrians, it has been revealed. Planning experts say canopies outside the Cornbow Centre in Hells Owen were failing and presented a health and safety risk to shoppers. The shopping centre is being revamped as part of a £1.2 million upgrade, and the changes to improve safety will be made as part of the scheme. Documents submitted by planning agents IDP to support the project, which has been approved by council bosses, revealed there were safety concerns over parts of the structure. They said this design and access statement has been prepared in support of the planning application for the removal of the existing canopies from Hagley Seat facade of the Cornbow Shopping Centre, which are currently a health and safety risk. The proposed site is the front elevation of the Cornbow Shopping Centre, and specifically the canopy which is above the public highway along this facade. The canopy is dated, and the numerous columns and totems act as a barrier to shoppers. But more importantly, the canopy is in a state of disrepair, held up by a number of temporary struts. The proposed replacement of this canopy is therefore not just an aesthetic issue, but an issue of health and safety to pedestrians. The work to transform the shopping centre will take place in two phases, with the first part concentrating on the outside of the centre, addressing the concerns over safety. The towers to the Hagley Street elevation will be replaced with a new entrance canopy to provide visitors with a more modern and open entrance. Exterior walls will benefit from a deep clean, which will improve the overall look of the centre. Phase one works are due to be completed in the autumn. Cornbow shops, including New Look, Peacocks, Clark's, Greggs and Drucker's, will remain open throughout the improvements. Active Construction, based in Coventry, has been selected to complete the works, and CBRE, based in Birmingham, has been appointed as project managers to oversee the design and planning of the improvements.
Lamborghini, Ferrari and Rolls-Royce owners had their vehicles clamped or impounded for non-payment. Lamborghini, Ferrari and Rolls-Royce owners were among thousands of drivers who had their vehicles seized for avoiding road tax last year, new figures reveal. Enforcement teams clamped or impounded 118,070 vehicles across the UK between April 2016 and March 2017, including 227 luxury supercars. The Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency, DVLA, said some 137 Porsches were confiscated, with the 56,000 SUV Cayenne proving the most popular high-end model among tax dodgers. The list also included a Rolls-Royce Phantom, a car which comes at a starting price of £347,000. Teslas, Bentleys, Maseratis and Aston Martins each appeared on the list at least five times. The most common brands to be taken were Ford, Vauxhall and Volkswagen, with silver coming in as the most frequently occurring colour. Almost 6,000 Ford Focus models were clamped or impounded. Black cab drivers also dodged the legal fare, with 68 London taxis being held. Three Reliant Robins, made famous by hit sitcom only fools and horses, were also seized. Enforcement teams clamped or impounded 118,070 vehicles across the UK between April 2016 and March 2017. This came from Dave Thompson, PA. Offenders are caught through number plate recognition cameras installed on enforcement vans. And DVLA said there was no excuse for not taxing a vehicle, given that the process was now easier than ever. Bethan Beasley, DVLA's National Wheel Clamping Manager, said, "Our enforcement teams are out and about on the roads around the UK all year. Their vans are equipped with number plate recognition cameras, so any vehicle that isn't taxed is at risk of being clamped or impounded." There were 227 luxury supercars clamped or impounded for not being taxed. The majority of drivers will never come into contact with our clamping teams, as more than 98,000 of vehicles on the road are correctly taxed. However, those who risk using an untaxed vehicle on the road will have to manage the cost and inconvenience of their vehicle being clamped or impounded. It's never been easier to tax your vehicle. It takes just a few minutes to do it online, and now that vehicle tax can be paid by direct debit, payments can be spread over 12 months, so there really is no excuse. Drivers can release a clamped car within 24 hours after paying a £100 fee and the required car tax. Beyond that, the vehicle is taken to the pound where it may be destroyed after 7 days, according to the DVLA. Road tax exemptions are granted to some vehicles, including electric cars, and those used to transport disabled passengers.
A brave parliamentary worker was keen to get back to business as usual after finding herself at the centre of dramatic scenes at MP Mike Wood's office, which was the target of a suspicious package containing white powder. Emergency teams flooded the scene of the Conservative MP's Dudley South constituency office in Wesley High Street at around 10:45 a.m. on Tuesday, the 26th of September, after a suspect parcel arrived from India and white powder spilled out. A senior caseworker, Natalie Neal, opened it. Police, fire and ambulance crews were dispatched to the scene amid fears it may have been a noxious substance such as anthrax, and Mr. Wood said, "At one point, there were about 15 emergency vehicles outside." Miss Neal, a former nurse and mum of three, says she went into automatic mode and immediately washed off the powder, but she added, "As soon as police came, they got me outside and put me in quarantine. I had to get stripped off in the middle of the high street. I'm laughing about it now, but at the time, it was quite scary." But she said, "If it had been more sinister, I would have had a reaction and they'd have had me in hospital. I just can't thank the emergency services enough. They did an absolutely amazing job. They were there within minutes. I felt so safe. It's good to know they're there for us." A spokesman for West Midlands Police later said the powder was not believed to have been harmful, but inquiries would continue. Mr. Wood added, "The chances are it was talc or flour." But he said the parcel, which was badly wrapped, included a long anti-Islamic rant about the Quran, and he added, "I don't know whether it was sent to a random MP's office or whether it was to do with an immigration case you may have worked on." Mr. Wood, who had been at nearby Miles Court in Briley Hill as part of a volunteering week when the drama unfolded, says it was a frightening prospect that a potentially lethal parcel could arrive through the post, but he says he didn't want to lose the accessibility and openness of having a high street office that people can just come into when they need help. He added, "I don't want to sacrifice that." Miss Neal, a former councillor for Kings Winford North and Wall Heath, who has worked for the MP since he was elected in 2015, said she hoped the incident would not lead to people being scared to visit the office. She said, as well as the building having CCTV and a direct line to the emergency services, all staff receive security training so they know how to react in such situations, and calmly said, I just followed protocol. It could have happened to anybody at the end of the day. We have to be vigilant, but we're there from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. helping constituents, and we don't want them to feel there is any risk. It hasn't deterred me from the job I absolutely love.
Support has been swelling for a campaign to help save a Newquay lifeboat with links to Stourbridge. The RNLI's Mersey-class lifeboat, the Frank and Lena Clifford of Stourbridge, is to be withdrawn in 2020. And the lifeboat charity announced in June that it would be replacing it with an inshore lifeboat instead. Funded largely thanks to a legacy of nearly £300,000 from Stourbridge industrialist Frank Clifford, the all-weather lifeboat based at Newquay Lifeboat Station in Wales is nearing the end of its 25-year operational life. Next nearest stations at Pethelly and Barnmouth will each be allocated new 25-knot Shannon-class all-weather lifeboats. But Newquay's all-weather boat will be replaced with the Atlantic 85, with lifeboat crew member Hugh Williams believes will leave a dangerous gap in all-weather cover. He said the Atlantic 85 is designed to operate closer to shore. Over the last 10 years, Newquay's lifeboat has carried out many services that were beyond the capability of an Atlantic 85, saving many lives. The nearest all-weather boats at Barnmouth and Fishguard would take up to an hour and a half to respond to an emergency in the Newquay and Aberaeron areas. This is clearly at odds with the RNLI's central mission statement to reach at least 90% of all casualties within 10 nautical miles of the coast, within 30 minutes of a lifeboat launch, in any weather. The Stourbridge branch of the RNLI has long had close links to Newquay Lifeboat Station, and the branch chairman, Chris Fontaine, MBE, an honorary life governor, said, "We're disappointed there's not going to be a replacement all-weather lifeboat. They're a splendid team at Newquay, and it's very sad. Hopefully the RNLI will look at these concerns." The decision has been made as a result of the 5-year coast review, and charity bosses say they have taken into consideration the number of types of rescues carried out by each lifeboat, changing trends and water use with the area, search and rescue demands, costs and future needs. They say the capability and standards of the lifeboats are constantly developing, resulting in safer, more advanced vessels. And the Atlantic is more manoeuvrable and the safest lifeboat in the RNLI's fleet. George Rollinson, RNLI Operations Director, said when announcing the decision that changing the type of lifeboat at the station is never taken lightly. But the decision to replace the all-weather boat at Newquay with an inshore vessel was underpinned by extensive research, which concluded services could be carried out safely and effectively by the Atlantic 85, supported by the 25-knot lifeboats from neighbouring stations if needed.
An imminent planning application to demolish Sizewell Tower block will cost £100,000 and be the biggest ever submitted in Dudley, the borough's council leader has claimed. Dudley Council leader Patrick Harley says the plans to bring down Cavendish House in the town centre will be put forward by the owners any time now. The former office block on Trindle Road has sat empty for years but will be pulled down to make way for a multi-million pound retail development under regeneration proposals. It was expected that the planning application would be put forward this summer, but a query with the plans in relation to the planned Midland Metro tramline caused a setback. However, Councillor Harley said that that has now been resolved. There was a query where the metro line was going to turn round to run and linking up with the bus station as part of an interchange, said Councillor Harley. I was told there was one line of thought that the metro might be diverted. That might have impacted on Cavendish, but it has now been confirmed that that is not the case. I expect for the planning application to go through. It will be a huge application, probably the biggest the borough has seen. It will be a huge investment of around £100,000. The Midland Metro line will run through Dudley between Wensbury and Brierley Hill as part of an extension of the tram service into the Black Country. Councillor Harley says the building will be demolished next year. Councillor Ian Kettle, Cabinet Member for Planning and Redevelopment, said that he had been told the planning application is imminent. Its owners, Avonbury, bought Cavendish House overlooking Duncan Edwards Way bypass, one of the major gateways into Dudley, for £800,000 at a property auction in London in 2015. The demolition is set to pave the way for leisure, retail and residential developments, will tie in to a series of major regeneration projects for Dudley. The new tram line is set to link up with Dudley bus station, creating an interchange. Meanwhile, crunch talks have been planned over the redevelopment of the Trident Centre in Dudley Town Centre between the site's owners and council planning chiefs. Elsewhere in the borough, the Black Country Living Museum has secured almost £10 million from the Heritage Lottery to go ahead with a major restoration project. It will see the attraction expanded by a third as a new town will be built, creating 100 jobs at the museum and more than 400 during construction.
Stourbridge riders and residents have voiced mixed opinions after the first Violo Birmingham event. Charity riders and supporters have praised the inaugural Violo Birmingham event as a great success, but frustration this week remained in some quarters over the many road closures the massive sport had brought with it. Steve Williams from Wordsley was among those taking on the 100-mile ride to help raise cash for a good cause. The 28-year-old trade operations manager for a housing association had taken up cycling around 12 months ago, but Violo Birmingham was his first event and he raised more than £700 for the NSPCC by completing the challenge. Andy Poulton, a 45-year-old licensing manager for Sandwell Council, also took part in the event after battling kidney cancer and was cheered on by his children as he rode through Kimber in his first cycling event. Royal, retired deputy head teacher Nigel Aston, a keen charity cyclist from Kimber who worked at the former Grange School, took on Velo for fun instead of the event. From a local rider's point of view, it was a great success, well organised and much better supported by the public than I thought it would be. Yes, there was disruption, but surely worthwhile. But those affected by road closures were not impressed at being unable to drive freely to work and leisure outings, and calls have been made for the organisers to rethink the route and ensure social care providers are consulted with ahead of next year's event. Lorna Priest, manager of Safe Harbour Residential Care Home in Hagley Road, Stourbridge, said, "This side of Stourbridge was completely cut off from the other side. It was a bit of a nightmare. I'm all for raising money for charity, but they need to think about the road structure and how it affects people. If this is going to happen in the future, there has to be a consultation with care providers. Lawyer Councillor Nick Barlow said he personally wouldn't want it in his ward again. He added, "It's been quite clear there's been no consultation or communication. It wasn't put to the vote. It was a commitment made by the previous administration that we had to honour. I know it's only for a couple of hours, but people want to go out and about and enjoy themselves. We don't want people to be inconvenienced. This is a Birmingham event." By all accounts, it all went very well. It was a huge exercise and the first time it had happened. Everybody will be doing a bit of soul searching, but I think Vale needs to publicly apologise to residents for the inconvenience and lack of consultation and reflect on that if it's going to happen next year.
Paintings of familiar Dudley scenes, including a watercolour by Turner, have gone up at Dudley's new museum ahead of its official opening. The pieces on display, which have been specially cleaned and framed for their unveiling, focus on scenes of the town and the wider Black Country, while a changing gallery of works on paper is also set to be unveiled at the end of the month. The Turner, although relatively small compared to some of the larger scale landscapes, is a little treasure waiting to be discovered. The piece entitled Dudley Castle from Tipton Canal is a watercolour featuring the soft edges of the castle hill in the distance, while smoke billows from factory chimneys and canal workers feature in the foreground in this affectionate picture capturing the history of the area in a range of warm orange and brown hues. Other pieces include Walter Scott's Boyd's Daytime View of Dudley, a pastoral dream of cottages, fields and grazing cattle in the foreground, while in the distance, church spires and factory chimneys reach towards industrial tinted skies. The interior of Holy Trinity Church in Wordsley by Martha Alice Richardson features in a detailed scene with members of the turn of the century congregation sat in high fashion in church pews, heads turned towards their vicar as he delivers a seemingly captivating sermon. Other scenes include Dudley Marketplace, Limestone Caverns, Dudley Castle, Red House Glass Cone, and feature, amongst others, artists including the renowned Edwin Butler Bayliss, Ernest R. Fox, and David Cox. The fine art pieces are just one element of the new museum, which includes geology, dinosaurs, glassmaking, and sporting and social history. The old museum in St James's Road closed in December as the council looked to cut costs. Council bosses say the new museum, based in the Dudley Archive Centre in Tipton Road, boasts better parking and access to the galleries, and is at the heart of the tourism hub at Castle Hill. Councillor Ian Kettle, Dudley's cabinet member responsible for tourism, said, "The gallery spaces at the new museum are all set up and the team are adding the finishing touches over the next few weeks in readiness for the museum's opening." The new design of the museum, with its timeline approach, gives a real flow to the pieces and gives visitors a better understanding of the borough's history, from the prehistoric to the modern day. Dudley Council's fine art collection was started in the late 1880s after the opening of the art gallery in 1884. The modern archives building on Tipton Road is now home to pieces from the collection formerly housed at the St James's Road Museum. The museum was officially opened by tennis champion Jordan Wiley at 12 noon on Saturday, September the 30th. It will be open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Saturday.
A campaign to save the former home of a man credited with bringing chainmaking to the Black Country has grown in size. More than 70 people have written to Dudley Council opposing a planning application to knock down Heatherton Lodge in Cradley. And now the Victorian Society has joined those objecting to the proposal. The lodge was the home of Noah Hingley. His world-renowned Netherton Ironworks, N. Hingley and Sons, made the anchor for the Titanic. In a statement to the council, a spokesman from the society said, "We object to the demolition of this 19th century house, home of the great industrialist Hingley family, and its replacement with new dwellings." The Victorian Society is a charity promoting awareness of Victorian and Edwardian buildings in England and Wales. It provides a list each year of endangered buildings and assists councils on making decisions on planning applications. Cornmoe Properties is behind the plans for building. It wants to replace Heatherton Lodge in Drew's Holloway with 2 3-storey and 5 2-storey houses, but dozens of objections have been made against the proposal. Councillor Laura Taylor said, "The property holds historic value and is very much admired and supported by local residents. The previous owners have a vast history both within Halesowen and Dudley as a whole, from holding the mayoralty to owning the company which manufactured the anchor for the Titanic. I object on the grounds that I do not feel that all avenues of restoration and preserving this property have been explored, and would like to ensure this is done before any planning permission is granted." James Warwick, who organised the Save Heatherton Lodge campaign, he said, "All the support that has been shown to save the property has been overwhelming. People's enthusiasm and willingness to get involved to help has really been amazing. I have never known community spirit quite like it. Teamwork from the members has uncovered such a rich history relating to the Heatherton Lodge. It does really seem a case of the more you look, the more you find with Heatherton Lodge." Timothy Durant of Church Walk in Rowley Regis said, "This is a wonderful house that needs restoring, not demolishing." Sir Benjamin Hingley was MP for North Worcestershire from 1885 to 1895. He was also an alderman of Dudley and mayor of Dudley from 1887 to 1889. The once grand Victorian property stands on Drew's Holloway, but has fallen into a state of disrepair. In documents lodged by the developer's agent, a spokesman said, "This application gives an opportunity to transform a redundant derelict site into one which is active and vibrant."
And with that final news item from Joyce, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Louise.
Bye-bye from Margaret.
And goodbye from Joyce.